Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. We are going to have Walk Through the Bible, New Testament, here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 4th, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Come join us as we walk through the New Testament in a fun, packed, interactive way. For more details or to register, call 412-242-3255.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Eternal Christ. Jesus has existed for all eternity from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Eternal Christ. Jesus has existed for all eternity.
And as we continue on with that theme, you know, we're still talking about everybody ought to know who Jesus is, but we are shifting the focus to the Christ who was unforgotten. And a lot of times when we think about Jesus and we look at him coming in Bethlehem's manger, we think that that's the first existence of Christ. But Christ is pre-existent, and that he existed in eternity past with the Father. A lot of times when I'm preparing for a sermon, I like to read as much as I can and listen to as many sermons as I can. And this morning I was listening to a sermon on the internet. It was talking about the pre-existence of Christ. And I thought I was going to get maybe some more insight into this message. And they had these two theologians talking, and I'm presuming that they were Christian theologians, and they were talking about the pre-existence of Christ, and they explained it by saying that Jesus Christ existed in the mind of God, that is the pre-existence, is that he existed in God's mind, and that when he came to Bethlehem, he was the creation of God. And I thought to myself, I said, wow, these are two Christian theologians, and they sure do have it wrong. And I wonder, how many Christians don't understand that concept either. So this morning, we're going to be talking about the eternal Christ, that he has no birthday and he has no death day. When we think about his life, we would say, well, he was born in Bethlehem and he died at Calvary. Well, that was his earthly life. But the Jesus that we know, he is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no ending. So as we come this morning, we want to talk about Jesus, the eternal Christ. I'm going to start off by reading a scripture. If you will turn to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, as we talk about the eternal Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And it's talking about Christ and his preeminence in creation. And it says here, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, we would look at that and we would see the eternality of Christ in that, that he was before all things, that he created all things, and that in him all things consist. But if we read the New World Translation, which is the Jehovah's Witnesses translation of the Bible, we see that they don't believe in the eternality of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. They see him as a creation of the Father, and so what do? They change their translations. That's why, in the book that I wrote, people ask the question, haven't translations of the Bible been corrupt? And in that chapter I did on the translations, I said, absolutely. Absolutely, there are translations of the Bible that have been corrupt. And here goes a perfect example right here, the New World Translation. is a corrupted translation, but this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses do to try to explain the fact that Jesus is not eternal. Look what they say. Because by means of him, all other things were created. Now, when they put the other in there, they're trying to say other than himself. They're saying that Jesus was a created being. And so that it's saying that he created what? All other things. And the implication is that he himself was a creation. Things were created in heaven, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible. No matter whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authority, all, here we go again, they slip it in again, all other things have been created through him and for him. Also, he is before all other things, and by means of all other things were made to exist. So again, here's a group of people, translators. You know, we're going to say, first of all, the Jehovah's Witnesses as a group, and then those who translated the New World Translation, they don't understand who Jesus is. They don't know that he was eternal. And lest we think that this is just a problem with the cults, let's look at some Christians who claim to be a group whose mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. This is what they say. Now, you can go to this website. I put it up there. Now, again, if you go to their website, this is what they say, that our mission is to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. But yet and still, they don't understand that Jesus Christ is eternal. Look what they say. Relatively few scriptures seem to indicate any preexistence of Jesus. The Hebrew scriptures portray Messiah as one who is yet to exist. The sonship of Jesus was prophesied and was therefore future. The Son did not speak prior to recorded life. The Son of God came into existence at the beginning in Mary's womb. Jesus was exalted. He was not previously preeminent, and Jesus never goes back to the Father. So again, here's a Christian organization, so quote unquote so-called, that really don't understand who Jesus is. As we study the scriptures this morning, and as we think about Advent, we want to think about the fact that, and we want to meditate on this, is that Jesus is eternal, and that he has always been around. As we think about this, and I begin to, you know, try to wrap my mind around, and I've said it before, that you go crazy thinking about this. How did God get here? And then you say, well, somebody put God here. Well, who put the person that put God here? Somebody put them there. And so, you know, you go back and you find yourself, you know, having a nervous breakdown if you try to figure that out. And so theologians, and I wish I had put this in the notes, so you might want to write this down. I want you to write down two words, that everything, according to theologians and evolutionists, can come from one or two places, either self-creation or self-existence. All right? If you think about how this world started and everything that we have now, they will argue, you know, I didn't want to get into some of the other arguments. They talked about illusion and some other things like that. I really don't want to get into that. I just want to boil it down to these two words, two phrases, self-creation and self-existence. Well, what is self-creation? Self-creation is something that creates itself. Okay? So this is what evolution is trying to tell us, that the universe is a result of self-creation. Now, if we go from that, if we start with that premises, then we have to start with the fact that at one time there was what? There was nothing, right? I mean, that's logical. If you say self-creation, then you have to start from the premise that there was nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I think Billy Preston had this thing figured out back in 1970 when he said, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Now, maybe some of the theologians and evolutionists need to go back and listen to Billy Preston's song, because he had it right. Now, there was a whole lot of stuff he didn't have right, but he had that one right. And the fact is that nothing can create itself. Nothing can create itself. If you have nothing, you will always have nothing. Well, somebody said, well, what about, you had these gases that were here, and somehow, some amoeba kind of bumped into each other and created life, and life all was. But then my question is, how did the gases get here? So you see, it makes no sense. So you have to have something that's self-existent. And the only thing that's self-existent is God. God has always been around. And that's why we read in the scripture, and I'm going to jump. I was going to go to John 1:1, but let's go to Psalm 90 in verse 2. Psalm 90 in verse 2. And in Psalm 90, verse 2, the psalmist says, we go back to verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Everlasting, eternity past, has no beginning. So again, if you believe in self-creation, which is what evolution says, that you have to believe at some point there was nothing and something created itself. But we as the people of God, we believe that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before anything else came into existence, God existed. And we only need to go to the New Testament in Philippians, where it talks about Jesus Christ. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so we understand that when it's speaking of God here, it's speaking of Jesus Christ. And it says that he has existed from all eternity. Let's go to John 1:1. John 1:1. I should have put up Jehovah's Witness translation of John 1:1, because the New World Translation corrupts this. It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. A God. So what do? They relegate Jesus to one of the gods and not being the God. Now, even these theologians that I listened to this morning that said, when it says that Jesus Christ was existed in eternity past, and they said that he existed in the mind of God, this is what they said. They said that when we talk about the pre-existence of Christ, that there was only God, and Jesus Christ was just a thought in the mind of God. And, you might be able to say, okay, well, if I'm going along the Jehovah's Witnesses line of reasoning, then that may be true. But there's something here in John 1:1 that even knocks that theory, right down to the ground. It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, this little preposition, with, is a very important word in this passage, because it's the Greek word pros, which means face to face. So how can Jesus be in the mind of God and face to face with God at the same time? It's impossible. And so whenever the beginning started, and again, try to figure that out. When did the beginning start? There was no beginning. For God, there was never any beginning. God has, like I said, it just blows our mind to try to wrap our mind around this thing. It's to think that it's almost impossible to think that at one time, just nothing existed. There was no earth, no world, no God. Nothing. So here you got this big mass of infinity, just blank, nothing, and then all of a sudden, God pops up. Makes no sense. See, this is what I'm saying. When we talk about the preexistence of Christ, and we talk about the preexistence of God, we have to go back and say, even though he says here, in the beginning, he's not talking about Genesis. He's talking about eternity past. And we know that eternity past has no beginning. Whenever that was, the Word, Jesus Christ, was face to face with God. However this thing transpired, Jesus and God were right there from the jump street. And so it lets us know that he is eternal. John 1:1, Psalm 90 and verse 2. Look at John 17 and verse 5. John 17 and verse 5. And here Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer before he went to the cross. And he says in verse 5, he says, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Give me that same glory that I had when we existed throughout all eternity. Now, when we think about what happened to Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, this is called, let's turn there real quick, Philippians chapter 2. This is what theologians call the kenosis, all right? I didn't say kenosha, I said kenosis, all right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Now, that phrase right there, "the form of a servant," has been the object of much controversy. Theologians have studied that out. What does that mean that he made himself of no reputation? What does that mean? Well, again, this is called the kenosis passage. And what it means is that Jesus Christ was God. And all he did was wrap flesh around his deity. He never stopped being God. See, if Jesus Christ stopped being God, then we got a problem. If God can stop being God, then we're all in for trouble. And so when Jesus Christ came, all that he did was underneath here, I have on street clothes, right? So when I put this robe on, that don't mean I stopped wearing my street clothes. My street clothes are still there. But what did I do? I wrapped this robe around it. And so when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he never stopped being God. And we as believers have to understand that. There was never a time that he was not God. All he did was wrap flesh around his deity. And at that point, he chose to submit himself to the Father. And in that submission, there were things that he cried out and called to the Father on, but he never stopped being God. And so when Jesus says in John 17, "Restore unto me the glory that I had with you before I came," you know all he was basically saying? Let me take off the robe. Let me take it off again. And we'll have that same glory that we shared through all eternity. And so John 17, verse 5, we see that the Son is eternal. In Daniel chapter 7, in verse 22, Daniel chapter 7, in verse 22, in this chapter we see Christ being referred to, and this is a powerful illustration of his eternality. Daniel chapter 7. In verse 22, We go back to verse 21, and it says, and you know, if I had time to really get into this, but I want to encourage you to go back and read Daniel chapter 7, because it's a powerful chapter. It's a deep chapter, but it's a powerful chapter. In verse 21, it says, "And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." So there's this struggle that's going on, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later. I'm going to talk about this now. There's a struggle going on between the saints and the devil, all right? Or some people will call him here the Antichrist, all right? And look how long the struggle goes on until who comes? The Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And so this is a reference here to Jesus Christ. And what is he called here? He is called the Ancient of Days. You may see some pictures portraying God. And how do they, some pictures portray God as this old man with a beard, sitting in a chair, just filled with wisdom and knowledge. And that is a good portrayal. Now, again, we know that that God is a spirit, that we can't see him. But man has tried to reflect on God and put it in language that others can understand. And so people have tried to explain the Ancient of Days. And the way that they explain the Ancient of Days is this, like I said, this old gentleman that has been around for a long, long time, that's just filled with wisdom and knowledge. And so Jesus Christ is called the Ancient of Days. And why is he called the Ancient of Days? Because that symbolizes his eternal existence, that he's always been around. He's been this man of wisdom that has existed from eternity past. And then let me show you the final reference that we want to look at today, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 9. And this is one that we're all familiar with, especially during the Christmas time of the year. Isaiah chapter 9, as we continue to talk about the eternality of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, it says here in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." Now, this is a very famous Christmas verse right here. You see this on what? A lot of Christmas cards. You know, I guarantee you that you're going to get a Christmas card this year that has this verse on it right here. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." Watch this right here. What? "The Everlasting Father." So we see how Daniel and Isaiah come together to present Christ. And here he is called the Everlasting Father. And as we think about this Everlasting Father, this is not to confuse him with the Father, because we know that the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So this is not saying that Jesus is the Father. But again, we got to keep in mind that what is Isaiah doing? Isaiah is painting a picture. He's painting a picture of him being a what? A wonderful counselor. Amen. That when you're in trouble and you need wisdom and you need understanding, you can go and you can cry out to him, and he will be a what? A wonderful counselor. He will give you wisdom like the Ancient of Days. You know, that wisdom.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Eternal Christ. Jesus has existed for all eternity. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Eternal Christ, Jesus Has Existed for All Eternity, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Eternal Christ, Jesus Has Existed for All Eternity. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Eternal Christ, Jesus Has Existed for All Eternity. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.